Friday night, the Pirates hit the halfway point of their season. They're one game behind last year's pace, but it was right at this time last year that they fell apart and lost 12 of 15, and the season was done. We open the show today with what's the bar now for success for this team this season? And City Limits and Paul both said you got to have a winning record, 82 wins. I say you got to go to the playoffs. You have to in this environment with this pitching, with everybody packed together, and I think you have to make a pretty big deal to do that. Here to talk about those issues and all things Pirates, our friend and yours, Gormy the Owl, Kevin Gorman from the Trib. Gormy, how are you? He's on. Look at him, Paul. There he is.
Look at him. He looks good.
I'm doing very well, Joe, and I appreciate the inquiry.
You're welcome. Hopefully you're watching out there on 93.7thefan.com, the Odyssey app. Gormy is on screen right now with us. So, Kevin, ranking or rating this season so far, are the Pirates ahead of, right where you thought they would be, or behind the pace that you predicted going into the season?
Well, I predicted 82 and 80, and they're just a game or two behind that pace. So I'd say they're beyond or behind expectations, but I also didn't expect to see Jared Jones and Paul Skenes in the starting rotation at this point of the season together and pitching as well as they have. So that would have changed my expectations had I been able to predict that.
So if you look at it, you feel like what you predicted is going to be not enough. You think they're going to be better than that?
I think they should be. I mean, if you looked at how they played at the end of last season, when, you know, they were playing mostly the young guys, that they went with the youth movement, I think that was kind of telling that this is a team that felt like, you know, the future was near. And then they kind of went out and signed some veterans to, like, okay, well, we need to give these kids a little bit of breathing space. And, you know, the veterans haven't performed as expected. Not one of them. I mean, Michael A. Taylor has given you the defense that you were hoping for, but he's not provided the bat. This is a guy who had 21 home runs last season. Rowdy Tellez has played better defense than expected, but it took him a long time to get his bat going, which he's maybe as hot as maybe the hottest hitter on the team right now. And that's saying a lot with Brian Reynolds having a 23-game hit streak. You know, Yasmani Grandal has been everything you expected from a veteran catcher with two All-Stars on his resume as far as calling games, but his play behind the plate has left a little bit to be desired, and his bat has been almost non-existent. So, you know, the veterans they went out and got, Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez, have both been guys that were supposed to be workhorses that have both been on the injured list. So I think that's been the biggest thing, is that the veterans haven't carried this team early the way the Pirates expected. Even Aroldis Chapman, who's been dominant recently, had got off to a bit of a rough start there as well. So that's been a bit of the problem for this team, is that, you know, you kind of thought that the young guys showed some signs of life last year, and that the veterans that they brought in to give them a little bit of a grace period, that they haven't really done the job as expected.
Kevin Gorman, Pirates beat writer for the Trib. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Gormy, what's your sense of the Pirates' willingness to part with one or multiple top five prospects, top 10 prospects? Are they willing to move their very best prospects to make this year's team significantly better?
I don't get the impression that the Pirates want to move their top five prospects. And I'm not really sure. I'm kind of ambivalent on this one, because I think they have to make a move. I think if they want to be contenders, and they should try to be contenders, when you have the type of field that's out there right now where so many teams are in it, you should be doing something to try to give your team a chance to win. That said, I don't know that they want to part with any of their top five guys, especially some of their young pitchers. I think Bubba Chandler would be one guy. I think Tamar Johnson would be another. That would be kind of hands-off to some degree. I don't think there's anybody in this system that would be considered untouchable. The untouchable is starting for the Pirates and wearing number 30. And I would think that Jared Jones will be right behind him as far as an untouchable. But anybody else I would think is fair game. But I also think if you're going to have a plan and you're going to have a process of drafting and developing internally, if you're going to have a group that you're trying to bring up together so that you have a starting rotation that has Mitch Keller, Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, and hopefully someday, a Bubba Chandler or Anthony Solomito or Braxton Ashcraft or Thomas Harrington, that you're not going to go trade all those guys away for somebody that is most likely a rental. So I think there's some concern there that the Pirates shouldn't just completely abort plan. But I also think that this is a team that if you've put such an emphasis on drafting and development and bringing up young players, that's what they're there for, is to use the prospects to bring in veterans, that when you feel like you're close, which is what they've promised all along, is when this team has shown signs of being a contender, that you've got to use the prospects to make a move. That's what a lot of other teams do. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss, but you should be going down swinging one way or the other.
Well, I think the thing about it is, if you look at what they, and we were just talking about, if you look at the market right now, it's going to be really tight because there's not that many teams that are going to be sellers, which means you're probably going to have to overpay a little bit. Do you think they have the ability to stomach the fact that they might have to overpay a little bit if they want to get the kind of players that they need to get in here to take them to the next level? I mean, really, I think they're only one or two legitimate bats away from really being a real problem to deal with. So do you think they have the stomach to, if it means throwing in one extra prospect that maybe they didn't want to get to part with to make a deal, do you think they have the ability to do that?
Well, they certainly have the ability. I mean, they have one of the deeper farm systems in baseball. Maybe it's not as talented heavy as a team like the Baltimore Orioles, but in terms of depth, the Pirates have a lot of prospects that are top 30 caliber guys, that are especially young guys that are playing, low A, high A, double, not so many of these in double A, but they have young prospects that they could deal, and that the impact wouldn't be felt for years. Kind of like what the Arizona Diamondbacks did when they traded a young Leiver Peguero for starting Marte, that they were willing to take that risk of try to win now. And it didn't really work out for them, but it also hasn't worked out for the Pirates. When you mentioned about the Pirates, the plan, the hope is that the Pirates would get a couple of the bats that are internal, like a Henry Davis or a Jack Sawinski, that they would get a couple of those guys. And I would say maybe primarily a guy who was their MVP last year, who I think a lot of people thought would take a step forward and be an all-star last year, Key Brian Hayes. If they can get those guys' bats going, they don't need to go outside the organization to acquire a bat. If they can get everybody else humming the way that Reynolds and Telez are, which you're not going to get everybody to stay that hot, but if you can get some consistency in the lineup and then get the guys whose bats have been quiet, that's one thing. But that's hope, and hope is not a plan. We all know this with the Pirates, that their five-year plan has involved a lot of hope and very little results. Here's an idea that I've had this week, is what the Pirates should maybe try to be identifying is not necessarily a team that's out of contention that is willing to sell off players and right now sell them off at a high price, but maybe more so looking at a team like the Baltimore Orioles that have some top players in their system that are stuck in the minors, because that's a team that is going for broke in terms of trying to win. And they have some players that are in their last year of a contract or have years of arbitration left, but are eventually going to lose their jobs to some top prospects that are coming up through the system. So there's three guys on the Baltimore Orioles that are in the lineup right now that I think could be available at some point. And the Orioles made some deals like this last year when they traded away Trey Mancini, traded away their all-star closer. But Anthony Santander is a right fielder who signed through this season. Is a free agent after that. There's a rental that you could get, a guy who just a couple days ago already had 20 home runs and 50-plus RBIs. Another one is the first baseman, Ryan Mountcastle, 27-year-old guy. I think there's another year of control with him. And then Ryan O'Hearn is another one who could play first base or outfield. So those are the type of guys that I'm kind of looking at. It's almost kind of like we're looking at some of the big names and saying, oh, could they get this guy or could they get that guy? I'm kind of looking at it as almost as, can they pull off a Brian Giles type trade where you get somebody who's not the perfect fit for the organization he's in, but could be a perfect fit for your team and really upgrade a certain position, like right field or like first base, that not just for now, but perhaps for the future as well.
Kevin Gorman of the Trib is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action. For our youth baseball softball showcase, parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com. To register your 12 and under team, and the Fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Kev, the Pirates desperately need Key Brian Hayes. I mean, if he was just average, if he had gone from borderline great over his final 3 months last year to just average, I'd put another 2-3 wins on the docket right now. But he's been horrible. He's been totally unproductive. How much does the back have to do with that? And what's his prospects for the second half physically?
Well, the back is a big issue for him, and it's unpredictable. It's not as simple as saying, if I do X, Y, and Z, then I'm going to be ready to play. Sometimes he does all the right things and still isn't quite where he needs to be. I think it's not only affected his bat. It may affect his bat more than anything. That's what he told me, is that he has the problems when he's trying to get right in the box. But it's also affected his play defensively, which is kind of disheartening, because the past three seasons, this guy's been the best defensive third baseman in baseball and maybe the best defensive player in baseball. He wasn't eligible for a Gold Glove in 2022 or 2021. In 2022, I thought he got robbed. In 2023, he finally won one. But he's taken a step backwards defensively, where he was superior and he was worth not just what he was getting paid, but far exceeded what he was getting paid just for his defensive alone. But Key Brian Hayes looks to me like a guy who's added some weight, is not moving as well as he used to, and isn't performing with the same kind of confidence offensively. I think he still has the pop in his bat. I think this is a guy who should be a 30 doubles, 20 homers, 75 RBIs, and batting somewhere in the 275 range guy. And I don't know if he's going to be a perennial all-star at third base the way that a Nolan Arenado is, especially with Matt Chapman in the National League now. But I certainly think he's capable of giving the Pirates more than he has. And I think not just in terms of performance, but also in terms of leadership. This is a guy that was one of the franchise cornerstones. He was the first guy they invested in, and they got a very team-friendly deal. But that doesn't mean he still doesn't have to live up to his end of the bargain.
If you called the Orioles, if the Orioles called and offered you Gunnar Henderson for O'Neill Cruz, would you do it?
No, heartbeat.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Gunnar Henderson's, he's the leading candidate for the American League MVP
right now. Here's the thing that's funny in these discussions. There are some people in this town who like, oh, no, O'Neill Cruz, look at his potential. Look at what he could become. No way. I think City Limits might be one of those.
He does have superstar
I would
potential.
Drive O'Neill Cruz to the airport if Gunnar Henderson could be here on a flight tomorrow.
I think City Limits is one of those guys.
Here's the thing. I've been saying from the get-go with O'Neill Cruz to watch him in batting practice, to watch him in games when he hits the ball. His teammates are in awe of him. They call him a unicorn. They talk about how he does things that they only wish they could do. I mean, he's hit some home runs that were 115 plus exit velo, and he's hit it with one hand. His first home run in his major league career, he basically dropped to a knee and drove the ball out of the ballpark. He's capable of doing incredible things. He's still not a polished product at shortstop, although he's got a world of potential. I think this is the type of guy who, kind of like Dave Parker, is the kind of guy who, if you look at Dave Parker's career, he really came into his own after a couple seasons in the major leagues and then was the best player in baseball. O'Neill Cruz has that type of potential, but he also has the type of potential to be tantalizingly close but not a superstar like a Gregory Polanco. And I'm not comparing the two of them. I'm just saying there's a lot of potential there and there's a lot of chance for them to be boom or bust. I think they're very different types of athletes. But because of we just watched Gregory Polanco, what he went through and how he never reached his potential, it's certainly going to be frustrating for Pirates fans every time they see Gregory Polanco make a mistake or O'Neill Cruz make a mistake or not go through his dry spells, which are more frequent than you'd like. But in terms of what you're getting from Gunnar Henderson right now, I mean, this is a guy who's one of the best players in baseball. And the Orioles could probably make that trade and withstand it, which is ridiculous how much talent they have in their system, because they have a guy in Jackson Holliday who entered the season as the number one prospect in baseball who can play shortstop or second base. They have Jordan Westberg who's playing third base. I mean, they could withstand trading Gunnar Henderson, probably only take a slight step backwards in terms of winning and losing, and have his replacement at the ready, regardless of how O'Neill Cruz performs.
Paul, may I engage Al in a game of free association?
Yes.
Ready, Gormey?
I'm game.
We've known each other a long time, so I have some questions about your career and perhaps our relationship. You ready?
I'm ready.
Greatest event you ever covered? Most memorable event?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, this is like my eternally the most difficult question. I'll just tell you two that gave me goosebumps. One was when Lance Jeter hit the half-court shot to beat Al Equip in the WPL championship. I was standing on the court when the ball was inbounded, and he was dribbling away from me. But to see him make the shot to win the game, I think it was in triple overtime or double overtime. But it was an epic battle between absolute arch rivals for the WPL championship. And he hit a shot that just sent everybody into a frenzy. I mean, everybody that was there from Mount Lebanon, Upper St. Clair, which was the next game, they went crazy watching that one. So that's one. The other one, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking of it right now. My arm, the hair on my arms is standing up right now. Max Talbot's game 5 goal at the Joe in 2008 Stanley Cup final. The Red Wings fans were chanting, "We want the cup." They could see the Stanley Cup behind the net in the runway. And Max Talbot, I remember I was doing, Joe, you were covering the game. I was doing all the web stuff for the trip. And I was writing, you know, live updates. And I remember saying the place was going nuts. They were 35 seconds or 36 seconds away from winning the Stanley Cup. And Max Talbot pressed the mute button. I mean, it was just the place went dead silent. And then the Penguins won in overtime and forced a game 6. Those are two that are, I mean, there's so many. I hate to leave anything out, but those are two that, as soon as you asked me that question, they came to mind.
Yeah, I think we drove there together. Me, you, Rossi, and do you remember the fourth member in the car? It's a trivia question.
Was it? I'm trying to remember. Well, I'm trying to remember if Trisha Lafferty was there with us.
It was Trish Lafferty.
I think she did all but game 6. I'm not sure if she was there for that one. I remember she had to go to a wedding for one of them. But
it was incredible. Yeah. And then, the car ride up, I started having problems. And then I missed a game because I was having more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. Do you remember that? I was stuck in the Detroit Marriott, Paul. Only time I've ever missed a game on account of sickness.
What this was the – which game?
09 Cup Finals. 08 Cup Finals.
This was 2008.
Yeah.
The one I'm talking about is game 5 in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been game 7 in Detroit. I made like $2,500 because I drove. Which year was it? 2009. They played in game 7 was in Detroit, right?
Yeah,
that was the year. I drove two dudes from Pittsburgh to Detroit. I was driving a cab.
Didn't expect this story to come up for me.
I picked him up right over the right over the hills. There's a what do we call it? A legal scalper, you know, right there in that plaza. Right.
So you had no idea. They just said, "Hey, can we have a lift to Detroit?"
I answered a call in Green Tree, and I picked him up at this legal scalper. And the guy was like, "Hey, you know, we need you. We need to tie you up for the rest of the day." And I'm like, "Well, what does that mean?" And they said, "Don't worry, we're going to pay you." You know, and I took him downtown to some office. Yeah, and from there we went to Detroit.
That's incredible.
Went to the Motor City Casino for a little bit. Picked him up, brought him home.
I've dropped Zeiss off at a couple casinos along the way.
So it was, I think I want to say they gave me like $2,000 in cash.
Wow.
And they had a great time. They were hammered. They were sound asleep the whole way home. You know, and. That was one of the better rides I've ever gotten. But and the other thing is I won about like $500 or $600 at the casino too. So as I always say, the Penguins winning that Stanley Cup
Made you a little bit of money?
I was okay with it because it was $2,700 richer when I got home or whatever. But yes.
What a story.
Here's my question, Paul. Were your passengers okay with the hair metal CD that you obviously were going to put into the road trip?
I always, you know, whenever people got in the car, I let them listen to whatever they wanted to listen to. You know what I mean? Except for you, yes.
Al, have you ever attacked a vending machine like Paul or any inanimate object in a fit of anger?
Oh, I'm sure I have. I'm pretty sure the Tribs old vending machine in the cafeteria at the Clark Building was beat up a few times trying to get a candy bar out of there. I would imagine that would be one. I'm most famous or infamous at the Trib for throwing a remote control in the office at one of my colleagues, and it's splitting into five pieces. So that was one that I got called in. I got called into the principal's office for that one.
Speaking of anger, a quick memory from the pickup basketball game. I think I was on Joe Bendel's team. You were on the other team, and there was nearly violence. Do you remember that?
Joe Bendel and I were on the same team.
Oh.
And we got into a fight while we were teammates. Not a fist fight, but like a verbal confrontation, because Joe decided that he was going to stand in the paint and tell everybody what to do defensively. He didn't guard anybody. He just stayed in the middle. He basically said, I got the middle. You guys guard everybody else. And so then he was criticizing us for not covering people. And we were like, Joe, there's three playing against four out here, and you're standing there doing nothing. So they had to separate us and put us on different teams, and we played against each other.
Oh, I remember. I was on the court.
I think that's where when he went to your team for the final game.
I remember.
Yeah, they had
it well.
To separate. Those were some intense days when we used to play pickup basketball over at McGee, and that game you're talking about was at Armstrong Park on 12th Street in the South Side.
Yes, it was. I'll never forget it. All right, Al. We appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
We'll do it again soon.
All right. Good seeing you.
There he goes, Kevin Gorman from the Trib. The 50-minute mark on the Fan coming up, albeit not for another 20 minutes. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Wonder Twin, why don't you tell the people what we have the rest of the show? We have John Parrotto at noon.
That's right. Parrotto at noon, and then much more.
You've been working on a national baseball person, haven't you?
Yes, we've been trying to get Bob Nightingale.
Or Florence's son.
Yes, someone else, someone that'll come on and talk to us about what they think the Pirates could do with the trade deadline.
I'd be very curious to talk to a Blue Jays beat writer about whether it's realistic that Guerrero is going to be dealt. It sure seems that way at this point. And man, is he a name. So hopefully we'll have that, but definitely John Parrotto talking Pirates top of the hour. Wait, what else here today? We have a quiz show at 1 o'clock, yes? You and IT have worked hard on this, I imagine.
IT is working very hard. We still have some work to do, but he's working very hard on it.
Paul, you ready to take me on in a quiz show?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm 1-0 right now. And would you dive into a mailbag with me next? We never got to that this week.
We will definitely do that.
And there were some questions that I felt like were right up your alley.
Okay.
In this week's mailbag, including if the Pirates go in the tank, is it time to talk about Shelton's continuing this job? We have one that says, how many more years of Ben Cherington do we have to endure? If the Bucks need to win one game, who's on the mound? All of this we'll talk about next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.